Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Fatina Carcanal, and it is always a privilege and a pleasure to come before you. You know, I never start my show without prayer, so let me just go right into it. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you. You are worthy to be praised, and I give you the highest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. You are just so worthy. You are so worthy. You are so worthy, Lord. I thank you for all that you have done in all of our lives. I thank you for those who are on the way, those who have just been listening by way of live, and also those by demand. I thank you for those who have been nervous about coming on and are making their way to doing so. I thank you for the things you have done in our lives. I thank you for the things that you're doing now and the things that you're about to do in this ministry, Lord. Lord, you just said that all you ask is that we just step out on faith and you will do the rest. So we're stepping out today, Lord, on faith, Lord, that you will take us and guide us where you would like to go. We just thank you that we're just going to bind the hands of the enemy who's trying to keep us in bondage right now. And this, we're going to express a desire for release and the desire to come out of darkness right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we move forward, Lord, I just ask you to pray. We pray for our families, our friends, and even our enemies, because they are the ones who sharpen our faith in you. And as we move forward with Chronicles tonight, Lord, and we talk about the topic that you have given me to discuss with people tonight, I thank you for the people that you have designed that will hear this word and for it to be spread and for those it is intended to reach. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. I ask you, Lord, to decrease me, Lord. Take away the man, Lord. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come in so you make it to increase whatever we say. And even the special guests that I have coming on, all the panel of guests that are coming on, that you decrease us in the manly form, Lord, so your spirit may get to increase, that whatever is said, that it is being brought forth by your word, Lord, and that healing and power and restoration, and that is what we're going to speak tonight, Lord, healing, power, restoration, and it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. So as I mentioned again, I thank you for those who are just tuning in. This is Fatina Kirkendall with Chronicles of a Fonda Woman, and I just can't not begin to just go. I go in awe when I just think about how good God has been good to me. And when I listen to the testimonies that surround me, I mean, just today in church has just been phenomenal. And I'm sure that you all agree. It's just been totally phenomenal. I am just in awe. There's no other word I can describe it. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. When we think about things that have happened in our life, when we just go back and just go back through the pages of time and go back through the pages of things that's happened in our life, the things that have hurt, the birth of a child, a betrayal of a friend, someone you thought that you had your back and you realize that they don't have your back and it hurts. I mean, it really, really hurts. And we ask that question, why, Lord? Why? I've been good to this person. Or you may count on someone. You've always been there for someone and you find out that in your time of need, they have not been there for you. And those are the kind of things that really hurt. I mean, really, really hurts. And you're wondering why. And then you don't understand it now, or you don't understand it when it's coming through. But when you start looking back at the pages, when I think about the heart attacks, when I think about the molestation, when I think about all the rejection I received in my life, and I look about, when it comes full circle, and I look about where I am right now, and I said, thank you. People, and I, when I said tonight about you can find pleasure in your pain, the pleasure doesn't come right then and there. The pleasure comes like now when it comes full circle. We're going to talk about that tonight. How do we, why do things happen the way it does? You know, what I've learned is nothing worth having in life doesn't come without the experience of some type of pain, but you got to go through. We all have to go through, and it's not easy. That process is never, never, never easy. How do we have pleasure from that type of pain? And we're going to discuss that tonight. We're going to talk about the different type of pain that comes, the purpose of the reason we have the pain, the purpose of the pain, and the privilege that comes from the experience and the pain. And I'm just so excited about going into this tonight. And if you know anyone that can benefit from this tonight, please have them tune in. They can call in at 914-338-1552. Now, I know I have a lot of people that like to email me, and I love emails. I want you all to know that I love your emails, and you can still do that after the show, because if they can't catch it live, they can catch it on demand. They can email me at C as in Charlie, OAF woman at gmail.com. That's COAF woman at gmail.com. If you're interested and someone's interested in listening to the live broadcast after it's done, they can do so by logging to www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fondle Woman. So let's just dive into the show. I'm so excited to have people on the line, and I can actually see the people just chiming in, and I'm looking forward to it. And for those of you who are on the line and want to chime in or don't want to chime in, you know how I normally roll. I will usually send you out a text and ask you, see if you want to chime in. And if you do, give me a yes. If you tell me you don't, then hey, then I'll just, I will include you on it, and we'll just keep it moving. I just thank you for logging in. But if you do want to chime in, you may text me at 678-887-9441. My number again is 678-887-9441. Please forgive me. I'm working with a cold, so if I go in and out, that's why. So I just want to go into this show really quick. I have someone that will be chiming in with me later, and we're going to talk a little bit about this topic tonight, but just a little brief testimony of mine, as I mentioned earlier before, in regards to that pain, that pain of the disappointments of life, the pain of having someone in your life that you thought that would be there forever or be there with you when you need them, and they just disappoint you. Even childbirth. I mean, I had two children. One I had naturally, and the other one I had with a cesarean. But I ended up having a complicated pregnancy, and as a result, it was both painful, but in the end, the product that came out of it was awesome. And I just cannot begin to describe, if I had to do it all over again, would I do it? Yes, I would. And why would I do it? Because I would not have become the woman I am without have not gone through what I have gone through. And I am just so grateful for everything that God has led me through. And even though I questioned him, I know we're not supposed to question, but yes, I do question him, on the things that happen in our life, but it's there for a purpose. And all things happen for a reason. And as we go into this more tonight, I'm bringing in a special person tonight who is going to be with me. And as we go into this, like I stated before, you can, if you want to chime in, because I have quite a few people that's logging in. I thank y'all so much for this. You can text me at 678-887-9441 and just say, hey, I want to chime in. I have something to say. Once again, that number is 678-887-9441. And without further ado, we're going to go into this topic, but I have to introduce someone who's very dear and near to me, someone, a powerful, powerful, powerful woman of God and also a very dear sister of mine. Her name is Miss Pastor Rosemarie Rogers, but I believe she goes by another name now. So I would just like to introduce Pastor Rose. That's how I know her as Pastor Rose. But thank you for joining us at Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me this evening.
No problem.
I always tell people there are times when I don't get my topic until the midnight hour. Literally, I don't get my topic till the midnight hour. And sometimes I'm like, okay, Lord, who am I directed to reach out to this? And you are the one. And I thank you for coming on and just being a blessing to those who are listening tonight, because we have quite a few people listening tonight. And as I'm not sure if you caught what this is about, the name of the topic I have on my blog, on the blog talk, is Pain Pleasure Principle. And it basically is dealing with, if you didn't catch it, is sometimes we go through a lot of pains in life. It could be the birth of a child. It could be a betrayal of a friend. It could just be a disappointment or a rejection. And we don't understand where that pain comes from, at least not at that particular time. And then as life goes on and we go through we're reflecting and we realize that it was like a setup in our life. And if I had to go through the pain I went through in my life all over again, I would. Because it made me the person I am today. I just want you to chime on that real quick. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on pain, period. I think that's a very wide subject. When you talk about pain and to hear you say you'll do it all over again because it made you who you were. And if I could find a shortcut to that, geez, if it took that, what I went through or what I've experienced to make me a better person, you know, maybe I wouldn't mind going through it again. Unfortunately, pain is necessary. For any believer or not, pain is necessary. It's just I've had a lot of pains, a lot of things going on in my life as well. And actually, it did make me a better person. It made me a stronger person, especially when pain comes and it's just something on the inside of you that wants to just render evil for evil. We could go there, but I choose not to render evil for evil because it's only going to make the process longer to me. I think that when we talk about pain and when we really look at that word, sometimes we don't really understand pain goes along with process. And I hear a lot of people say, embrace the process, and trust the process. And no, God never said trust the process. He said trust me, you know, not the process. Because the process that goes along with the pain, you know, depending on your attitude, that's what kind of product you're going to produce. That's what kind of person you're going to become. Another thing, in me dealing with pain, nobody likes pain. If I look at my own life and I look at that word pain, I think about scars, about wounds. And, you know, if you don't get healed, if you're not healed from that pain, from that scar, from that wound, from that hurt, you know, you're going to drag that with you, that's going to become luggage, and you're going to drag that to your job, you're going to drag it in your relationship, you're going to drag it in your marriage, you're going to drag it. And I'll never forget last year, the Lord spoke to me and said that I wasn't healed, I wasn't whole. And I couldn't get with that. I was like, Lord, what you mean I'm not? What you mean? Like, I'm, you know, battling out with the Lord. Like, what do you mean I'm not whole? If there is a possibility in life with the pain process that you can be healed but not whole. And he gave me a scenario with the sore. You know, when you have a sore, and that sore is open. You know, you put stuff on it to make it better to heal or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get a Band-Aid and you cover it up. But then when that sore gets a scab on it, that doesn't mean that sore is healed. It's in its process of healing. So even pain has its process, you know, of healing. And so, you know, when I was a little kid and I seen the scab forming on my knee, I was like, oh, boy, let me peel it. I just wanted to pick it. I was just a scab picker. And I just began to pick it, but then I would pick it, and then it would bleed. But in certain places, it was pink. It did not bleed. So it was healing. It was going through the process, but I wasn't made whole. When you're made whole, that scab, eventually, it'll disintegrate. It'll disappear. And all you'll be left with is the scar. And the scar is your testimony. That's what pain. But the pain is not there no more because, it's a process to pain. But it's also a willingness. You have to be willing to let go of the hurt that caused the pain. You have to diagnose, well, wait a minute, well, what caused this pain? You know, because a lot of times we cause our own pain, self-infliction. Oh, boy. You know, we our own self with stuff, and then we try to throw it off on other people when we ourselves, we cause that on ourselves. When you think about pain, you think about, you know, when you go to the dentist and, you know, that wisdom tooth is really killing you. You know, and it's not ready to come out yet, but so then they have to put you under anesthesia, you know, and make sure there's enough stuff to deaden your nerve there so you don't feel what? The pain. But baby, when you come from up under that anesthesia after that thing is out, yeah, you're going to feel some pain. It's a painful thing. Your face lopsided. You're looking like the clumps. You're in pain, but time, you know, people say time heals all wounds, you know, and I think pain to some people is a pacifier because we're afraid, you know, we're fearful to really face the unknown. So pain becomes a pacifier, becomes a blanket. Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always based upon pain. Well, you don't know what I've been doing. You don't know what it's like, and all of these other kind of excuses that we give sometimes. But, you know, when you come out of that, having a baby, she talked about, you know, you feel that pain, you know, and when you feel pain, you know, I had an 11-pounder natural birth, so I know what it is to cry, whoa, man. I know what whoa, man means, 11 pounds natural. That was a painful thing, and I didn't have an epidural to stop the pain. So pain is necessary sometimes because at the end of the pain, you know, the Bible says that, you know, after childbirth, that woman remembers that pain. She remembers it no more. It's joy now. Why? Because that pain was there. But as long as that pain was there, boy, you about to snatch somebody's hair off. You about to bite somebody. Something because that pain was intense. It hurt. It was deep. Like, oh my God, when is this thing gonna be over? And then after I had the baby, boy, I was talking a lot of smack. Boy, I was talking a whole bunch of stuff now because that pain was gone. It was over. And boy, let me tell you something. So pain has a way. You know what I mean? But you just have to. You know, it's just so many ways you can look at that word. You know what I mean? But however which way you equate it, the bottom line is you remember the pain no more, and that's Bible. After she gives forth, after is that child, she remembers the pain no more. You know, it's deeper than that, because you don't have the pain no more, but you're going to always remember the pain, because, you know, we kind of say that to our children when they get old. You don't know. I carried you 9 months, and I had the pain. And you don't feel like you're contracting when you're talking to them, and they're about 40 years old now. But, you know, you remember, you don't remember, not necessarily literally remember, but that pain is gone. And so really it was just, you know, something there to prove that, hey, pain can be there today and pain can leave tomorrow. It could be there. Mm-hmm. It's up to you. You know, the children of Israel, they was in pain, man. They 40 years, a long time to be circling around because of disobedience. You know what I mean? They thought that was pain, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, they self-inflicted themselves. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's not the pain that gets us. It's the attitude. Your attitude will determine how far you come out that what you're going through that causing you pain. You know, some people just like to stay in certain things, and you're killing yourself. You're just softly killing yourself because you're choosing, you're compromising with pain. Pain has an expiration date. Come on now. Anytime you get in something, there's an expiration date for you to get out of it. But how you get out of it is attitude that you have while you're going through them. For the word says that if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. You know, it's things for pain.
Attitude. I was reading something, and it says your attitude could bring blessings, or it can bring you it can bring you blessings, or it can bring you destruction.
Oh boy.
It's all about attitude. I read it in my T.D. Jakes Bible. I reference him a lot because he has a Woman Thou Art Loose Bible that I use a lot, especially on this show. And going back to something you said, it was something you said in reference to pain. I can't remember. It'll come back to me. I'll just put it in God's hands. He'll bring it back to me. But it was something you said that stuck out to me in reference to pain. When you said about pain, pain can be a lesson. You know, the birth of a child, yes, I've had a child naturally with no medicine, so I definitely get it. But after I had that child, whew, it was good. Life was good, but I had to go through. And just like anything in life, I'm gonna bring it back to the perspective of going through. When we're going through different things, we're going through things that may be going on in the work environment, or things that may be going on in our personal lives. You know, whether it's hurt from, you know, being betrayed by someone, or it's hurt by, you know, I've had friends who I thought they were good, you know, we were good, and then only to find out, you know, that they betrayed me later. Because one thing I did learn about life is that people, you cannot always expect people to treat you the way you treat them. Because I'm a very loyal friend. If I call you my friend, then you are my friend. I am very loyal, and I expect that in return of my friend. Now, I know coming through life, that is a false expectation, because people are going to be who they are. So I have to learn to love people where they are and who they are, and adjust. Because once your person shows you who they are, that's on you now, because they already showed you who they are. But as a result of that, and as a result, I remember being fired from a job, and I was devastated. I learned so many lessons from that. One, because I put the job before God. That was one. Two, I was disposable. I thought I was invincible. I found out I was disposable. But I was so hurt. But in the end, from that, I learned so many. And then I found out that someone was actually looking at me. So I was actually interviewed. I went from a coordinator to being interviewed for a CEO position. Wasn't even paying attention to it. So it's just interesting. My cousin was just saying how she lost her employment, you know, doing accounting and for a company. And she ended up being the CFO for a nonprofit because she was helping people. So it's just interesting the pain that you go through because your disappointment and stuff, and it comes back. It comes back in a different way. We don't understand why we go through the things we go through, but it's for a purpose. It's for a purpose. I'm a firm believer of that. It's for a purpose. And when your eyes is focused, and I'm speaking to believers, and for all my non-believers that are not out there, just submit to him, and I promise you he'll show you the way. All I'm saying, and for my believers that are out there, you know, stay focused on him. Don't leave him. You know, this is time when you're like, oh, my gosh, why is he doing this? Why is this being taken away? Why is this going on? I was listening to Sarah Jakes last night, TD Jakes' daughter, and she was just talking about the fact that sometimes you can't understand why something is taken away from you, and you're feeling all pain because you experienced a loss. But what you don't understand is when you start going full circle, okay, I was preparing you. I was preparing you for where you are now. I'm preparing you for where you're getting ready to go. And at first we don't understand that. But once we get there, we're like, okay, I know I've been there. Once when I first got here, I couldn't understand what was going on. What's going on? I didn't understand. I was a hot mess, literally a hot mess. I couldn't understand what was going on. I knew the part that I played on it. And I had to deal with it. Look, I had to get my hands spanked. But then I started thinking, okay, why is this door shutting? Why is this door shutting? Why is this door shutting? I ended up in a field I didn't even think I would be in. And now I'm very successful in it, but I'm still learning. And it's only temporary because I already know I'm only here temporary. I'm just passing through. And as I'm passing through, have I endured pain here? Yes, I have. But I realize now, okay, Lord, apparently you have me here for a reason. So let me open my mind and not close it. And realize and see what it is that you want me to see and learn from this so I can get ready for what you have in store for me. Because you got something. There's something going on because you haven't removed me from this yet.
Because
I know I thought about trying to do it myself. He's like, no. I didn't tell you it was time to go yet. Now you're going to have to endure because I told you to endure. So I'm just saying to my people that are listening out here, don't be so quick and so fast to try to make moves that has not been ordered for you. Don't be so quick. I always tell people, because I'm guilty, I was guilty of this myself, never make decisions out of emotions. Never make decisions out of emotions. If someone's hurt you, someone's made you angry, do not make decisions out of pain. Do not do that. You get yourself together. Get yourself together. Then you become let logic come in. You start praying. Like I mentioned in a couple other shows, you start praying. You start talking to God. You start letting him come in. And then you start putting a game plan together. Okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to see from this? And what is, let's put a game plan together and let's execute. Because anything that the enemy is going to put out there is your stumbling block. God's going to use it for the stepping stone later. And as you elevate, and as you elevate, and as you elevate, and as you elevate from each one of those pain, because he will use your enemy as your footstool.
Right.
The same ones that cause you pain is the same ones that are going to come back that you're going to either have to minister to, or they're going to need you to minister for them or on their behalf. That's what I've learned from that. And for those of you who are just turning and tuning in, this is Fatina Kirkenall with Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. And those of you, we're talking about the pain pleasure principle. I have Ms. Rosemarie Rogers on the line with me. And I know I'm missing the Pastor Rose on the line with me. If you know someone who could be, ma'am.
It's fine.
Okay. And anyone who could be blessed by this, please have them call in, and they can tune in by listening, by calling in 914-338-1552. They can also email me later. Like I said, this show is live, but it is available by demand once the show is over. And you can log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. And those of you, I thank you for the emails that you send in. Please continue to do so. I love to get emails from you. And you may continue to do so at coafwoman@gmail.com. And if you're on the line tonight and you're interested in chiming in, I normally send a text out to everyone, but the phones are flooded tonight, and I'm unable to reach everyone by text, a personal text. So I'm going to ask you to text me at 678-887-9441. And if you're interested in chiming in at any time, just shoot me a text. Just give me a second to look at it, because I keep my phone on silent when I'm on the line. I will be more than happy to chime you in. I will acknowledge that I received it and then let you know that I'm going to chime you in. So I'm back here with Pastor Rose, and we're just talking about the pain-pleasure principle. And the last thing we ended it with is, you know, going through certain pains in life. We don't understand the benefit of it right then and there, but as we elevate in life and as we continue, that we see it later. Pastor mm-hmm. Rose, I just have a question for you. You've dealt with a lot of people in your life. You know, what would be a suggestion or a word of wisdom that you will offer for someone that deals with rejection or deal with heartbreak or betrayal?
That's a lot of meat in one sentence and one question. Well, words of wisdom, if you may say. When I think about, because I've been the above. I've been molested at 5 and 12 by family members. I've been rejected by so many. I think, especially as a woman, because I don't know if it's just women on the line or men, but you'd be surprised. You have some men, too, that went through some of the mm-hmm. same similarities as women mm-hmm. has gone, that nobody deals with them and nobody talks about it. But as far as a woman is concerned, no one likes to be rejected. I think that's a heavy one right there, because as mm-hmm. women, we're automatically created to love. That's our makeup. We're very emotional. That's our makeup. We're easily to cry and get upset. Emotional. That's our makeup. Loving someone, giving you, you know, we love hard. It has nothing to do with a horoscope. You're a Capricorn, I'm a Sagittarius, you are this, that, the other. Listen, women, their makeup is that they love hard. You know, and if you take that spiritually, you know, we are the bride of Christ. The church is the woman, represents the woman as the church. So we're very, you know, we're very emotional. We don't like to be rejected. You know, we don't like to be let down. And so we put all of our stuff out, you know, if you please, in the front line. You know what I mean? And then when we get knocked down, then we don't know how to grow from that, you know. And then so you put that in a little box in your heart, you know, and then you try it again, and then you get knocked down again, and you put that in a little box in your heart until after a while, you know, you just don't want to be bothered, period. You know, I've had several women that got into loving or liking other women because they said all men were dogs. And so in researching why you even think like that, you know, comes to find out, you know, whoever they were involved with, you know, it turned out that they were rejected. It didn't work out. The relationship didn't work out or whatever the case may be. But then I kind of like zoom in just a little bit closer. And I always ask people, listen, what on you, what is on you or in you that causes you to attract those type of men, those type of people? Because if you're getting the same response time after time after time after time after time, it's not the man. It's something in the woman that they're doing wrong to keep producing the same results. You know, in order to get something you never had, you got to do what you never did. You know, if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to produce the same type people. You know what I mean? And so, like I say, a lot of rejection and a lot of pain that, you know, we go through, we really, sometimes we cause it on ourselves and sometimes we don't. But, you know, if you could just zoom in a little bit deeper, and when you look at pain, you look at rejection, you look at all of that kind of stuff, think about purpose. Because you could have told me when I was a little girl, growing up, adolescence, teenage, young womanhood, whatever, that all of this stuff was going to be for my purpose. See, a lot of times, if it's not self-inflicted, it's something that God wants from you. To whom much is given, much is required. And so now I understand, Sister Fachina, I understand now what Romans 8:28 really truly means. And we know that all things work together. Listen, the good, the bad, and the bold and the beautiful, and all my children, all of that is in one pot and is working together for your good. It has a purpose. Everything that we go through from childhood on up, it is for a purpose. But if we never encounter or never meet with someone that can show us the reason why, and I think that's where sis, we get stuck at, because we don't have, there's not enough voices out there that really deal with the inner issues. You know, we just deal, even in church, the pastors, they just deal with the outskirts of issues. Nobody really wants to talk about the child molestation and, you know, why you know, why I have so many uncles, and then why this, that, and the third. You know, everybody wants to keep it a secret, but it is important. You know, the enemy preys on secrecy. And if he could keep your mouth closed from talking about certain things, you're going to forever be in that wilderness called pain. You're never going to come out of it, because you're not, you could be willing to come out, but if nobody never tag you there, if nobody will take a jab at where you're hurting at, you know, sometimes people got to jab you there for you to come out of that thing, because you've been comfortable in it. And it is like, you know, what it was, Charlie Brown with Linus and that blanket. You know, he carried that blanket everywhere he went. Like, even when he played the piano, he got the thing over his shoulder. Like, so how long are we as women, as we as men, as we as people going to carry unnecessary luggage? You know, luggage, after a while, it begins to be pacifying to us. Oh, you can't touch that. And so it affects everything. It affects your mental capacity. It will affect your communication skills, because you'll find out when, suppose, you know, God really sent that wife or that husband in your direction, you'll make a mess out of 50 Cent, because you're so being pacified by what you went through, you can't even see no farther than what you went through 10 years ago, because nobody really jabbed you right there. Nobody really dealt with that issue. Here you have in Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood, and she's been bleeding a long time. I believe 12 long years is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And when
mm-hmm.
you really read that passage of Scripture, look, she was broke because the Bible says she spent everything she had. She was rejected. Why? Because back in the biblical days, any person that was bleeding, you're considered unclean. So nobody wouldn't even walk on the same side of the street because she was considered unclean. So this woman had more than just an infirmity, more than just an unhealed sickness. She had a whole lot of other mental problems. She had no friends. She had no husband. She had nobody really on the side. People were rejecting her left and right because of her infirmity. How many women are rejected day in and day out because of infirmities, because of issues? Not so much literal issues or sicknesses, but just rejection alone, that's an issue by itself. But so what mm-hmm. she decided to do, she said, look here, I got to get some help because I ain't got no friends, I don't have no more money, you know, my bank account ain't no on low, it's on zero. It's just, and it's nothing there. So she had a lot mm-hmm. of things that she was dealing with. And so that's why, Sister Fachina, I tell people all the time, I say, listen, God is just not concerned what kind of God will we serve if he would only just heal the sickness and not make us whole in all the other areas.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be healed
mm-hmm.
of the sickness, but then you still need to be made whole in your mindset, because her mindset was like, I don't want to be bothered with nobody because nobody don't want to be bothered with me. I don't like people. Listen, as a result of the issue, she might have became someone down the line suicidal. She might have had suicidal
mm-hmm.
tendencies and thoughts because, hey, you living in a world of people and nobody don't want to be your friend. Nobody want to walk on the same road as you. You can't go shopping at the store like everybody else can. Like, you are in total confinement. It's just you, you, and you. And that's enough to drive anybody crazy. But when she touched,
mm-hmm.
this is the part that I like, when she reached out to God, she got a pressing in her spirit, and she said, I got to get to this man by any means necessary. And she touched the hem of his garment, the thread was powerful. She touched it. And the Bible said immediately her blood, her infirmity was dried up. But look what Jesus' response was to the woman. Daughter, go in peace. Your faith has made you not healed, but whole. Because even though she got healing for one thing, she still needed to be complete in other areas of her life. So until you are complete in God, God has to be the one to make you whole. You could be healed all day long and never bleed another day in your life, but your mind's still messed up. You still don't have no communication and social skills. Her social skills was jacked up because nobody wanted to be bothered with her. She probably tried to reach out to a bestie. You know what I mean? And bestie ain't want to be bothered with her. She probably tried to call some people on the phone, and people just pretending they're not there and ignoring her. That is mental problems. That will mess your mind up. So Jesus
mm-hmm.
had to not heal her sickness, but he had to make her whole. And God is concerned, even on this line, God is concerned with the total you, with the you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet and the in-between. God is concerned about that. So when you talk, nobody likes to go through rejection. You know, nobody. And then sometimes as women and men, you know, desperate people do desperate things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember in my first marriage, and, you know, I could remember, I said, well, he a preacher, I'm a preacher, so this thing got to work. Like, no, it don't work like that, because you could have two spiritual freaks that just are unequally yoked. You know, one is on one level 2, and one's on level 5. You know what I mean? And I didn't pray and ask God. I thought I did, but I didn't pray and ask God. Because for real, if I really would have sought the Lord would have told me he was messed up, he needed deliverance, and the whole 9 yards, but he was up preaching God's word. And that was a turn on for me. Oh, he's spiritual and this, that, and the third. And God taught me something then, and I was only 19 at that time. And he said, just because I say yes, don't mean now. And because I say no, don't suffer. So a lot of times, because we want that thing so bad, we want to act like we heard God say, yeah, you know God didn't say yeah to that thing. And so then you go ahead on and you do it. Then what? Here come the pain. Here come the rejection. Here come a lot of things that but we put ourselves in it. But God is still merciful. You know, God will bring us out of that thing, but we you know, it's like a noose around a net. We get hooked. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then we in it, and we don't know how to come out. So the devil always, you know, make it easy for you to get in it, but he'll make it hard for you to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reflection. You got to want to get, you got to work better for you, basically.
Mm-hmm. I know the point I wanted to get to. You mentioned something about a pain and how people basically, that's all they know is pain. And I was Janet. She's a poet. She's a Christian poet. And the title of that poem she has is "As I Waited for You." And in it, she talks about pain, how she got so comfortable with pain. That's all she knew. Because she knew that it wasn't no good for her, but it was always faithful to her. And that's what I mm-hmm. thought about when you were talking earlier. And it's interesting, I'm on the line and people are still chiming in, and I got a text from someone that said, it's better to endure the pain of preparation than the pain of regret. Then I got another one that said that if you can't identify the purpose of your pain, you can set yourself up for self-sabotage, constantly repeating the same things, thinking, behaviors, and actions. And I was like, so interesting, because it just falls in line to what you were saying earlier. But I just got to get to a point where sometimes for me, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And
right.
I could just use a current situation where God delivered me from a situation, I won't call no names, but I was in a situation where I got caught up with a gentleman. And it's my son's father, my youngest son's father, and gave me all the red flags. God gave me all the red signals, but I still kept doing it because, just like you said, God, you know, we want to do things the way we want. He can tell us no, but we'll still move forward. I still remember everything I went through with that scenario. Now, no ill will, no malice towards this person. So I pray for this person all the time because we have a relationship because of our son. But I still remember the hurt and the rejection, but I had to take some self-accountability because I should have known, I knew better because God was trying to tell me, you know, when I think about all that stuff. And I said, you know what, I could have avoided all that. I could have avoided all of that pain if I had just listened. If I had just listened. But I didn't. God was telling me all this time, you know, hey, I don't want that for you. This is not for you. But it didn't matter what he was saying. The bomb was going off. It still didn't matter. The rejection that came from it and during it, after it, everything. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, throughout it all, God still kept me. I was having a stroke. I still remember it to this very day. I remember the moment I was having, I didn't know I was having a stroke. I just thought I was having, it was worse than a migraine that I was having that day. I remember where I was. I remember what was going on, everything to that day. I never went to the doctor. Never went to the doctor. I was like, Lord, just please take it away. Then I remember having that same headache when I moved to Atlanta. This time, my vision was impaired, but I still didn't go to the doctor. But I was like, if my vision doesn't come back 100%, now I wasn't blind, but it was different. You could tell your vision is different. I said, if it doesn't come back 100%, I'm going to go to the hospital, to the ER. I went to the ER. You know what they said? You had a stroke. The same headache I had that years ago. That was before I had Jace. I said, God, what? He said, do you know you have a history of strokes? I said, what? I didn't even know. I didn't know that I was having history. I was having strokes and didn't even know it. But I remember that first one I had, and I didn't even go to the doctor. He kept me.
Yes.
Throughout all that. Through all, and I could tell you several instances where I just would not listen, and he still kept me. And I don't even look like nothing what I went through. Because I had to submit to God all what I did and ask for forgiveness, because God will get to a point where I'm trying to walk you to your greatness. But since you want to make a detour, I'm going to sit right here. I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to let you go do whatever it is you need to do. But I'll be waiting here when you're ready.
And
then we can walk here together. Yeah, when you're tired. And because you're going to come back. You're going to come. I'm not moving. But you'll be here when you're ready. And then when you're ready, we'll continue the journey. And that's what I had to do. Because sometimes you like, we will self-inflict pain for ourselves. And that's exactly what I did. I got a beautiful child. Yes, I did. Because he definitely was sent here to save my life. No doubt about that. But I could have avoided a lot of that unnecessary pain that I did not have to have in my life. I did not have to have it. But I guess God was like, you know what, listen, okay, I got work for this child to do. Let me put something in here that's going to slow this child down, because she just ain't getting it right now. She just ain't getting it. After 17 years, I was found out I was pregnant with Chase. I was like, what, after 17 years? What? I didn't believe it at first. Yes, sure enough, I was pregnant with Chase. I couldn't believe it. But that was the best thing that could have happened to me, and literally that slowed me down. And then when I found out about all these health complications and stuff, I thought about that stroke. And when I found out, I said, I had a stroke? Oh, my gosh, I had a headache like this before. I was having a stroke and did not go to the doctor, did not do none of that. I still continued to do what I did, and he carried me. I thought about how he carried me throughout all of that. For me to come back and share the testimony, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. The purpose of the pain. When I tell you, you are right, self-infliction, we do it. And I'm a testimony of that. I do know what it's like to have that rejection. You know that I'm a survivor of molestation. Some things you don't have a choice of, but some things you do. And things you have control over, you better get that in check. You need to get it in check. You can get it in check. It's about a choice. Everything is a choice. Everything is a choice. Everything is a choice. As far as you can't control what people do to you, but you can control how you respond and how you react and how you respond to it. Because that's what God is going to hold you accountable for, the things you have no control over. So even though pain has its purpose in life, whether it's self-inflicted or not self-inflicted, it serves its purpose in life. You're either going to learn from it, are you going to make the same mistake? And then you're going to get to a point like me where you're going to get sick and tired of being sick and tired, or God's going to get sick and tired, and that's what you don't want to do, is let him sick and tired. Because you really gonna you think you feel pain, but you really gonna feel pain. He gonna do it in a loving, fatherly way, but you ain't gonna want that. But when it comes back around, the lessons to be learned. Because what I did learn from a situation that I just recently realized that I started finding myself going back to a situation where I'm not going to return back to a toxic relationship because I see the signs of that. So what am I going to do? Just cut it off. It's no problem. I appreciate you showing me who you are, and I don't have anything to say. We good. There's nothing to really talk about. I'm good because silence is always the best weapon for me. I say more in my silence than I do with my words.
Mm-hmm.
Just back away from it. And it's so interesting because, you know, entering, going in your fasting period, you know, the beginning of the year, everybody does their fasting. I'm no different. You know, in this fasting moment, I'm just seeing so much, and I'm seeing more about myself than anything. And I've learned that anytime I allow myself to get caught up in something that God has delivered me from, I ain't trying to go back. That thing has led me in the hospital, and the next time I may not come back out. Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that because that's the one thing I'm going to tell my ladies and gentlemen. God will deliver you and deliver and deliver you, but if you keep going back, keep going back, keep going back, and he takes his hands off you,
it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap. So don't get him to, I mean, don't do it because God will love you all the way to hell. And I ain't trying to go there. I can't take the summer in Atlanta, so I know hell ain't the place for me. It just ain't gonna be for me.
I'm from Miami, so I definitely can't take it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So as we're getting ready to wrap up this session, I just want to say it has been a privilege and a pleasure to have you on the line, Pastor Rose. Just a pleasure. You know, I'm going to have to get you to come back again. You have to, because this has opened up so many areas, and I see some of the people that's on the line, and I'm going to be reaching out to you. I got one person in particular that I want to reach out to that has a powerful, powerful testimony. Oh, she's just awesome. She's just one of my sisters from South Carolina. And when I tell you, she's a beautiful person inside and out. And I just look forward to, you know, I love connecting with women, especially women of who's been through like I've been through, just on different levels. I love women because that's what this show is about, real issues. People who have gone through real, I like to deal with real people, real issues, real talk. Mm-hmm. Who can be open, because that's the only way we can reach out to people is they got to know people are out there, and you can't stay, you don't have to stay in darkness. There's people that have been out there because people need to know there are other people out there that's been through that. And if God has brought us through, because, you know, you may have another power, higher power, I'm not judging you, mine is God. You always know that. You've gone through whatever, but there is a better way. There is a better way, and you don't have to stay that way. And that's what Chronicles of a Fallen Woman is all about, is bringing people together. My name is Bettina Kirkendall. You know, I do not ever leave without saying something positive or some type of prayer or whatever, but I am actually going to come off a little beat a little bit. I just want to encourage our women and men that's on the line to stay focused on what it is. Know that there is something better out there for you. If you know something that's causing pain in your life, you're going to have to reevaluate. Is it worth staying that, or do I just need to walk away? And sometimes when you walk away from something, you don't need to make an announcement that you're walking away, because your silence say more than your voice. You don't have to say nothing. Just walk away. Just walk away. I love you. God loves you, and so do I. You've tuned in to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. You're more than welcome to listen to The Demand at www.blogtalk.com/Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. You're more than welcome to email me at C as in Charlie, OAF woman at gmail.com. And you're more than welcome to text me if you're interested. If I get tons of texts and I love it. 678-887-9441. Miss Pastor Rose, I love you.
I love you too.
You keep doing what you're doing. This is Satina Kirkendall, and we're signing off. Blessings. Have a good night.
Blessings.